This podcast features adults using adult language. You've been warned. Hello, welcome to Battle Res Bears, Episode 3, How to Pick 'em Good. I am Mudala, and with me is my beautiful, sexy co-host, Ursangus.
Hey, that's me.
The name is you, the rest isn't.
Indeed. How you doing, Moo?
I'm doing good. You?
Pretty good. I gotta admit, I've had a pretty decent week.
Oh yeah? Well, why don't you tell us about it?
So, recently, I've started working on the well-played party rewards as far as the badges and banners go. I've gotten a lot of great feedback. Also joined a little raid team called Facepull, led by Echelon. I've had a blast, absolute blast running with them. They're a great bunch of people who know how to have fun between pulls and when to put the hammer down as far as bosses go. It's been a great experience, especially for somebody who's never really touched foot in HFC at all. This week I went from 0 tier pieces to 3, and quite a bit of heroic gear as well. So I'm having a blast in there. Great bunch of people.
Man, some people get all the luck.
Well, I gotta thank Jack of Skulls for even mentioning Facepull, and the raid leader Echelon is actually one of the contributors to the well played party, so that helps as well. I've got a joke banner going for him here in a minute, where I'm just going to take a hand and make a turkey out of it, and that's going to be his Twitter banner.
Nice.
So what's been going on with you, man? You been doing anything in game lately?
Well, again, during the week, mostly just my garrisons. I've decided going to be starting a new raid team Friday, Saturday nights. Still don't remember what we decided to call it. I've slept since then. But we already have our 2 tanks. We're looking for pretty much everybody else wanting to get into heroics. Probably going to start in normals for a week, maybe 2, do some tryouts, and just see, make sure everybody meshes well. But our ultimate goal is within about 2-3 weeks be it start into heroics. So we're looking for a higher item level than normal for starting, but should be a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, as it so happens, I believe a topic we've got this week is how to recruit.
That's right. So maybe once we're done with this, I'll go back and listen to it, maybe get myself some advice.
Fair enough. So do you want to go start us off?
Yeah. So we received on Twitter, and I am going to butcher the crap out of this, and I'm sorry. Lana Sararum.
Oh, Lonnie.
Yeah.
Oh, she's actually a tank for Facepull.
Oh, well, there you go. Lonnie, then. We'll just go there. I'm sorry about that. sent us a message in regards to our last episode where, you know, we were talking about raid leading and we mentioned, you know, the bad parts about poaching. So she said, you know, can you talk about good ways to recruit? So there are a lot of different ways you can recruit that won't be mostly viewed in a negative light. You see this a lot on our server because, you know, we've got our own looking for group channel. So you'll see people posting macros. You'll see people even just randomly typing in, hey, we need this or we need that. And that's usually a pretty basic, you know, way to get going. There are lots of other ways to do it. What's your favorite way to do it?
Honestly, so I do a lot of recruiting, as Moo knows, for greeters. I do a lot of recruiting in there, and I do use macros. However, macro is not always the best way to go about this. The reason being is that everybody has a macro for a raid team, everybody has a macro for a guild, and the general player base for recent history tends to ignore macros for the most part. There are ways to get around that ignorance, if you will. Personally, I love challenging people. questioning their testicular fortitude. when I'm not in CTR, works very well. I can't actually say that because that is considered offensive. But make your, if you're going to go with macros, make your macro very individual. And a lot of people don't know is that you can create two halves of a macro. If the information does not fit into just one area for creating a macro as far as your text goes, split it up into two. My greater recruitment macro, it does exactly that, where you just bam, bam. And Blizzard does have rules on it as far as spam goes, but I believe just two macros as far as text goes doesn't get snagged by Blizzard for that.
Yeah, and honestly, macros generally don't get snagged too much, except for in trade chat.
Because
I found, for example, again, CTR has its own officer channel, or looking for officer channel, and there have been incidents where people have accidentally, you know, shut that window or whatever, and so they hit their macro thinking that it's going, and they can't see it, so they just keep hitting it. That happened recently, and it doesn't do anything in created channels, just the base channels like trade chat, possibly general chat. It'll lock you out. My thing against macros, though, are especially recruitment macros, is like you said, everybody has them. So when one person pops them, somebody else is going to pop their macro to get theirs noticed. And then so your macro is going to get lost.
Kind of because lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, because everyone else is going to, oh, well, he's posting. Let me post. That way mine gets seen, not theirs. So, and there are people who will sit wherever and just watch for those. As soon as a macro pops up, they hit theirs.
Bam.
Just immediately. And then, of course, you've got bots also.
Well, yeah. I mean, what can you do? It will work. You will pick up people for that. But honestly, that is the broadest message. And personally, I have trade chat turned off. For the most part, I've got general chat turned off. So, are you ever going to recruit me? Probably not. So, the best way to get a hold of me, in most cases when it comes to raid teams, is word of mouth. I get asked, hey, do you have a team? Or you pug with somebody. I said, you did an amazing job. Do you have a current team? Word of mouth is much more powerful than a macro, honestly. You will have to socialize a little bit. You'll have to step outside your garrison. But by word of mouth, you're going to get so much better spread. Let your raid team know that you're looking for additional players for the team. They will get word out there because this directly affects their team.
And let's face it, everybody has friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly, I know a lot of argument can be made that I don't have any friends, and WoW, yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you may not know it, but you do. If you're on a raid team, you've got friends, and at the worst case scenario, you've got acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
They raid with you. Why wouldn't they want the team to do better by recruiting more people?
Yeah, and most everybody is in a guild, so I mean, they'll password, hey, these people are looking for this. If anybody is open or is looking for, these times.
Well, and it also applies cross server too.
Yeah.
At least for the non-mythic teams, where shoot out a broadcast to all your battle tag friends. Said, hey, we raid this time to this time. If anybody knows a DPS or a healer or a strong tank that's looking for a team during these times, send them my way. That works really well.
It is.
So there are, I don't know if you want to take on this next part, Moo, but in regards to what you're looking for.
Well, I mean, you got to know, what do you have already? What are you? If you're the one putting this team together, what do you play? Are you a tank? Okay, that means you're looking for one tank. How many people are you wanting to have? So that determines how many healers you have. You always want two tanks. And then obviously if you need a mix of DPS, ranged, and melee, doesn't really matter how many of what. There are some fights that favor more ranged than melee. But those can usually be worked around. But yeah, definitely need to know what you want in terms of size, what you have already, so you know what you're looking for. And then it's overused, in my, especially this expansion, but item level is a good starting point when trying to look for people, because you want to make sure that they have at least, at the very least, have the gear to do what needs to be done. It's still up in the air as to whether they have the skill, but...
Well, and also, item level can give you kind of an idea of how much they have put into their character, how much effort they have expended on their character. And I know it's kind of an odd analogy, but I'm single and have been for a while. So one of the questions I kind of always, well, I guess one of the pieces of data I always look at is age. People said, oh, the age gap is disappearing. People are dating further and further outside of their age range. That's true. Age may not matter. And honestly, this applies to recruitment too, where, I should say doubly, where age is usually a good indicator of maturity level. Same way it goes for item level. The item level is going to be a good indicator of how experienced they are, at least to an extent. I mean, anybody right now can get 650, right around 650 item level without even trying. You start looking at 695, 705. Yes, they can still get it out of Tanan Jungle. However, they did take the time to grind up enough to upgrade every single one of those pieces, which is not something you can do in a day. It does take a couple weeks. So, item level, as far as that goes, I would say ballpark it. Don't put something out there as 690 plus, because even the lowest geared person in the world can be an amazing raider, but not have they just don't have the item level for it. Maybe they just got unlucky on drops. It's a possibility. Some of the best players I've seen have been playing for less than a year and have never done a raid.
Honestly, my rule of thumb when it comes to item level is looking roughly around 5 to 10 lower than what drops in the raid I'm going at. So take Hellfire, for example. If you're going Hellfire normal, the very first few bosses drop 690 gear. So I'm looking about 680, 685. That should be doing roughly what I want them to do, as long as they're able to pay attention to mechanics and listen, you know, the basic rating stuff. The gear is important, but it's not end all be all.
Correct. We've mentioned this many, many times on the podcast here, but mechanics are key.
And I'm sure we'll mention it many more times.
Indeed we will. And mechanics can be taught. That's a beautiful thing, is raid awareness is something that they have to teach themselves, but mechanics can most definitely be taught. Gear can be obtained. If you have somebody with the right attitude, and this is honestly, it's kind of going past what you do to recruit, but how to judge a good recruit. Their ability to listen, their ability to shut up, their ability to follow mechanics, their ability to come with their own potions and goddamn flask. It sounds like it's not a big deal. But when that little pop-up comes up and they're right there next to where it says no food and your name is listed, you don't think people pay attention to that? Because I sure as hell do. And I know the raid leader should.
Yeah.
So getting a recruit that is willing to put in the time and effort, and honestly, that is going to be directly related to their attitude. If they have a good attitude and they're open to criticism, you're going to go so far with your recruits. You're going to find your core members in no time. Now, how do you determine if people have a good attitude?
Talk to them. Interview.
Interview. Tryouts. Tryouts are huge. Facepoll, I was actually in a probationary period for, I think, a week and a half or 2 weeks before they said, you're actually part of the team now. I said, okay, that's fine. I know I'm a badass. and I've got a good attitude, so I can get in there and rock this. And we'll deal with the confidence bit later. I think we got another question in about pre-raid jitters, which I think we'll deal with maybe not on this podcast, but maybe on the next episode.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, tryouts definitely good. I'd suggest, you know, sitting down with them in voice chat before you even go into raid, just to see how their attitude is before they go in. Because if they're, you know, think they're the end all be all and announce that they're the end all be all in raiding, you probably don't want them because they'll try to take over. And the reverse side of that, you know, someone like me or Sangus, we know we're good, but we're not going to say we're gods. You know, we'll show you, but we won't say it. You know, we'll prove it, but
we'll show you all day.
And that's what you want. You want someone who's confident without being overbearing. But on the reverse side of that, you don't want somebody who's like, well, I know I suck, so don't bother doing this. Or, you know, if I die, just leave me dead. You don't want someone like that either. You want someone who's like, yeah, I'll do what I can. And
that's all you can really ask of your recruits, really, is, well, you only ask that you put forth your best effort. As long as your recruits are doing that, you're fine. You're fine. You will come up with a nice core group of raiders that way. Tryouts are key. And something I see a lot of raid teams kind of fail on is when it comes to your tryouts, if you're not willing to bring them into the raid just yet, invite them to hang out in Mumble and listen to the group dynamic as far as how you communicate and how you talk to each other. Because if you have somebody come in out of the blue, they've got great attitude, they're doing mechanics just fine, but they cuss like nobody's business, it's not going to be part of the group dynamic. They're going to feel very, what's the term I'm thinking of? Segregated?
There's a reason I don't talk much in Mumble.
Yeah. But you have to keep something in mind is your attitudes as far as the rest of the raid group goes. And this is going on whether or not you've got a good recruit. They have to get along with the rest of your raid.
The rest of your raid has to get along with them.
Very true. Now, at a certain point, if you've got a member of your raid team, let's call him Sam, just for example's sake. If Sam has a very particular kind of humor that everybody just has to kind of grow into, and you know, everybody likes Sam, but he's got kind of an odd attitude, it might not hurt to warn your recruit.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on the severity of it. I mean, because every raid dynamic is a little different. Some will let you get away with cuss words, some will joke about each other's mothers. It depends on your dynamic, and it's actually key to bring in your recruit and get them familiar with that dynamic before you bring them officially onto the team. Because the last thing you want to do is surprise a recruit and they drop 4 or 5 F-bombs in their first tryout and you all don't allow cussing in that raid team. Okay, well, that's going to make them feel very out of place. And it's going to make it difficult for your recruit to focus on mechanics. And it will be a bad tryout. So that's as far as raid leadership goes. For the recruit side of things, same thing can be said. You need to be very mindful that this is an existing team. They have an existing dynamic. And you are there to try out. It is literally a live-action interview. Mm-hmm. You know, live-action role-playing, live-action interview. Same thing.
Don't be afraid to ask questions. So yeah. Before you even get in there, ask these things. Do you guys, you know, what's your Mumble rules or voice chat rules? You know, cursing? Do you guys joke? What should I expect? Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, above all, when you're doing these tryouts as the recruit, be yourself. Don't try to put forth one image only to, you know, have how you actually are come out later and turn out not to be the right.
And as a recruit, observe. Mm. You have to be very aware of the raid dynamic. Because honestly, even though you applied for the team, if you stay in that group and hang around and mumble for, you know, the raid, just listening in, if you don't feel like you're going to fit in, then tell the person recruiting you. Said, you know, honestly, you guys do great work, but I don't feel like I fit in here. So thank you for your time, and we'll see you in game.
Yeah.
There is a precedent for, I tried out for this team, they love my meaners, they love my gear, but I cannot stand half the raid team. Like, you can't even bear to keep them talking in your ear. You mute half the raid before even part of the raid team. Chances are it's probably not a good fit for you.
Yeah, I've done something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been part of a raid team where, you know, I'm rocking the meters, doing all the mechanics correctly. We're just downing bosses left and right. But at the end of the raid, I want to bleach my ears because I cannot stand to hear so-and-so or this particular group of people talk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal conflict and something you need to address because you're going to be spending hours upon hours with these people.
Yeah, the shortest raid that I've seen, not my team or any team I'm on, does at least 3 hours a week. So that's a one day raid. That's still 3 hours that you're with somebody. You need to be able to get along with them.
Yeah, you figure there's usually, what, a 15-minute lead-up before the first trash pull, usually. Not a lot on of average. Teams anymore. On average. And then if you've got a 3 or 4 hour raid, you've usually got a 15-minute break in there. And then there's... Everybody just kind of goes and goes and goes until the end of raid time. Well, that's... You are looking at a potential 4 hours of talking to people. If you don't get up from your desk, by the way, when you're raiding during break, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
If you've got a 4 hour raid and they give you a 15-minute break, get up from your desk. Get up. Stretch your legs. And I'm not even kidding about this. It is so important. Get up and do some sort of physical activity. The more blood you've got flowing, the more fit you feel when you sit back down to a raid, the better you're going to do. And I know I just got kind of off topic there.
What? Off topic? Off topic? Never.
Never.
Not this
never
podcast.
Off topic.
All right. What about classes and roles? Should we only do, I want this and this only, or, you know, what do you think? Open it up?
I'd say be a little flexible as far as that goes. If you're looking for a disc priest that is exactly 697 item level, then you are severely limiting your hiring pool at that point. Maybe you've got a resto shaman who knows their shit, has the correct item level. Why not bring him in? You're still looking for a healer. Unless you're truly, honestly, unless you're a mythic team who has a very specific raid comp in mind, if you have somebody to fill the role, put them in there.
Honestly, they've opened it up to a lot of other classes being able to do certain things. The big one, hero or bloodlust. Mm-hmm. You've got your shamans, obviously can do it. They gave it to the mages, probably the biggest mistake in the game, but we won't go into that. And they gave it to Beast Mastery Hunters, which Beast Mastery is starting to see a big climb in usage. So there's your three options to get your full-blown hero or bloodlust. You also have, you know, you've got drums. It's a 25% instead of 30, but it's still an option. So you don't have to have just one thing.
No. No, and raid comp plays a lot less of a factor than it used to, where you needed a prot warrior, you needed a prot pally, you needed a disc priest, you need a resto druid, you need a rogue. I have not raided with a rogue in probably 5 months now.
I raid with one twice a week.
I I just don't notice them, which I guess is kind of the idea. But raid comp doesn't play nearly as factor, at least for normal and rogues, it does not play nearly a factor as it used to.
Yeah.
So as far as specific roles go, keep your main three. Like, I guess technically four. You've got your tanks, your healers, your melee, and your ranged.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's all you really need to fill.
That's really all you need to fill. You fulfill the role, not, I should say, you fulfill
bring the role, not the buffs. Or yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, you got it exactly right. Bring the role, not the buffs. Because even if your resto shaman that you're trying to bring in instead of a death priest, if he's, oh, let's say 50 items level, you know, 50 item levels less than the disc priest you're trying to recruit, that doesn't mean he's still not going to do a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
So bring the player. That's what I was thinking of.
Ah.
Bring the player, not the class.
Except for a bear. You always want a bear.
Well, yeah. The perfect raid is 25 druids. Everybody knows.
Oh, yes. That. Yes.
So that's what I have to say about roles.
Can you think of any other good ways to recruit? I mean, I think we covered the a good amount.
There are forums, and I leave this at the kind of the end of this section for a reason, because forums are getting a little outdated. Social media websites are actually do very well. Twitter is fantastic for picking up just one or two people at the same time. Really, honestly, that's the only way I can think of. Oh, and podcasts.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Podcasts is another good one. Make mention to the hosts or the producers or whoever that my team is looking for a DPS or a healer or a tank. Honestly, I've not run across a single podcast that won't say it.
No, because it's also given them I want to say publicity, but that's not right.
Kind of. Eh. Kind of in a reverse way, but it honestly also gives podcasts a chance to connect to their listeners.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that benefits a podcaster more.
I think that's where I was going with that.
Well, we got there, right?
Yeah. Once again, roundabout ways.
Indeed. Indeed. So I think as far as recruitment goes, I think if you just follow those basic guidelines and some of the tips, you'll do fine.
All right, so our next thing we also came from Twitter. So, guys, thank you for everything that you're sending us in.
Yes,
we need more. Give it to us. But
keep coming.
So our next thing is from at Zirkin the Tank. He asks, "What is your opinion of the catch-up mechanics for gear or legendaries? Has Blizzard gone too far and taken the leet out of elite?" Now, in terms of for my situation, I'm loving the crap out of it because I have alts. I have lots and lots of alts, and I want them geared. For the legendary catch-up, the majority of the catch-up is going to be seen by people who have already completed sections of the ring. For example, if you've already completed the one of the characters has already completed the Heimal Abrogator Stone section, your other alts will receive more Abrogator Stones from that raid. Instead of the one, maybe two, you'll get, you know, five or more, you know, more chances for the clusters too. There is that weekly quest in Tanan, in Lion's Watch or whatever the Horde City is, that you can get. Yes, go ahead and keep laughing.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can spend Apexis crystals. It's 16,000 something Apexis crystals for 25 Abrogator stones. It's 20,000 Apexis crystals for 75 elemental runes. That is a pretty good mechanic. I think it just in general, since we are, honestly, let's face it, we're at the end of the expansion. You know, they're not going to come out with anything new. They're not going to be doing anything to further this along, so these are your options.
So I'm honestly kind of right with you on that one, and I had the opportunity to actually use a lot of these catch-up mechanics because you guys probably don't see me on Ursangus very often. Now, I love Ursangus. He's not going anywhere. He's kind of without a home right now as far as the raid team goes, but that's okay. Ursangus is still elite. Okay? He still uses catch-up mechanics in Tenan Jungle. Do you think Ursangus gives a flying blankety-blank where the gear comes from? Not really.
He just wants it.
I don't. I don't care. I love the catch-up mechanics, because Ursangus is on that last part of the Legendary Quest. But I have other tunes I want to raid with. Like my Shaman, who's just got picked up by Facepull. Before I got picked up by Facepull, my Shaman's sitting at like 630. And that's horrible. I don't like that item level. But doing things in Tenan Jungle, doing dungeons, doing LFR, I know everybody hates LFR, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But we can go into this later. Ursangus has some very different opinions about LFR, and they're not in line with everybody else's. But going through and doing the catch-up mechanics in Tenan Jungle and LFR, and doing pugs, I love it. I love being able to catch up that quickly, because honestly, after a couple hours on Ursangus, I'm like, oh, that was okay. Now what do I do? Oh, that's right. I've got a Shaman I could work on. I've got a Furrier Warrior I could work on. I've got a Paladin I could work on. I love maximizing my time in the game. And to do that, especially if I'm prepping a tune for a raid, those catch-up mechanics are key.
Well, also, I mean, honestly, at this stage in the expansion, the catch-up mechanics are important because there are still people coming into the game. There are still people who have never raided. Now, not many people really want to go back and do High Maul. Not many people really want to go back and do Black Rock Foundry. They want to do the new hotness. They want to do Hellfire Citadel. They want to kill that last boss. We're still going, you know, a lot of us are still going for that ahead of the curve achievement. So being able to have a mechanic to allow more people to get into current content is actually a good idea. It increases the player base, it increases the recruitment pool, more places to pull from, and you know, it increases the people who want to raid. The more people that like to raid, the more work they'll probably do on raids.
Yeah. I don't see a... I can see where a lot of people might feel kind of elitist because I did this the hard way. And honestly, I've had that attitude myself. Where, you know, I'm proud of the things I've done in the past with Ursangus. However, I don't use that as a detriment to new players or new content or catch-up mechanics. So it's a little easier for them. Okay. That doesn't mean they can't be proud about it.
No, they're still accomplishing something during the expansion. I mean, it's not like... And, you know, with the way things are done now, going back, like, you know, you can go back and farm legendaries now. You know, people aren't complaining about that. So... No. Why complain about the catch-up mechanics now?
It's... Right, if you're going to complain about catch-up mechanics, why don't you complain about people farming Frostmourne or that one hammer out of Ulduar? It's the same basic premise. Yeah,
oh, I got it back during when the content was, you know, at level, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And?
And? Does that change anything right now? Not really. I mean, okay. I honestly, I'm proud of the achievements I got back in Burning Crusade of doing the raids, doing all that fun stuff. Does that have any bearing on my ability as a raider right now, as far as this boss goes, this pole, this mechanic? I might know it a little bit better. It might come to me a little more naturally, but in the end, it doesn't matter.
No,
because I'm not the same raider I am today that I was 5 years ago. I know, Moo, you're definitely not the same raider you were.
No.
But it's a good thing, though.
Yeah, and you know, these ketchup, all it is makes it easier for people to enjoy, and that's really the name of it. It's a game. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
So
it is completely a game. Do not let others, I guess, rosier path, you know, deprive you of your own accomplishments. Don't let their accomplishments and your accomplishments are really, you don't have to compare them so detailed. Yeah. They're proud, you're proud. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. And it all leads to the same thing, killing bosses. Yeah.
So you have something in common there. You both want to kill a boss and you're both proud of what you did.
Yep.
Use that.
So that's how we feel about the catch-up mechanics. If you feel differently, hey, that's why it's an opinion.
Yep. I'll fight you on it. Don't get me wrong. I will fight you on it.
So we did have a couple other questions we want to go over.
Yep.
At Mullet863 or Cuddles, for those of you who know him. Great guy. He wants to know, so you've joined a raid team, you love them, but your schedules are changing. How many absences is unfair to both you and the team? Or, in other words, how long do you try to hold on to that spot?
There's no exact number on that.
I think it would have to depend on a few factors. One, just talking to your raid leader and seeing how they want. Because with the exception of Mythic, and the raid sizes can change. So depending on what your role is, you know, if you miss a week or miss a night, it may not be the end of the world. You know, just communicate. This brings us back to communication. You got to talk with your raid leader.
Yeah.
If you're doing just a one night a week or one day a week raid and you're right at a 10-man limit, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
If you're one of the tanks, that's going to hurt. But
recognize your effect on the effect of your absence, I should say, and communicate with your raid lead. Or if you are the raid lead, okay, your absences are probably going to hurt more than any other role as it comes to the raid team. But, and I think we meant to cover this in our raid lead podcast, maybe you need a co-raid lead who can take over when you can't be there. When it comes to how many absences, a lot of raid teams and guilds actually have something in writing for that, where if you miss two without notification, you might be put set. You might be put on the bench. And it varies. I mean,
yeah.
Typically, the most common thing I've seen is usually between two and four absences in a month will get you either benched or removed.
Yeah.
Is that a concrete number? Hell no. It really depends on... There's so many different factors on this. So really the takeaway on this is if you're going to be absent or you don't feel like you can adhere to the schedule anymore, you need to talk to your raid lead. If your raid lead says, no, I understand if you don't make it on a certain day, you got no worries. But if the raid lead says, you know, I need you to be there all the time and you just can't do it. As much fun as you might have with that raid team, you might have to leave.
Yeah. Either leave or voluntarily leave or, you know, end up possibly being removed.
It's an unfortunate event. It just happens. Real life. Real life will always take precedence over raiding, at least for me.
It should for most everybody. You know, you got those people that get paid to do it, but, you know, that's, again, if you're hiring, but, no, definitely you can't stress it enough. Communication. You got to talk. You got to bring it up. That's the only way you'll be able to answer that question.
I've run across a couple people actually, and kind of taking it back there for a second. I've run across a couple people who feel that WoW should take precedence over real life. I don't get along with you.
No.
At all. I'm not a very violent person, but I will take, I will show you physically how much real life will take precedence over a video game. And that's where I'm going to leave that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, you know, loving it and everything like that, and your schedules are changing, typically your raid schedule is going to stay the same. Your real life schedule is not. We are fortunate, me and Moo are fortunate enough to actually be a part of a community that has so many different raid teams that we can kind of switch back and forth a little bit more freely than most members or mm-hmm. most guilds can out there. But the same options are available, even if you're not in a community like Convert to Raid. The same options are out there. Check the forums. There's all sorts of different ways. Maybe you just need to roll up a tune on a different server. If the options are not available for another secondary raid team, there's plenty of other content to do out there.
Yeah, other than raiding. I'm glad you brought up that roll another tune on the, you know, worst case scenario, you can make another tune on another server and just check out, see who's recruiting there. See what, you know, raids are available on that server. You don't have to actually level that character or whatever. You right. find a group that you might be interested in, go through the tryout process, and then you don't even have to be on that character. You still do cross realm. So, you know, there are definitely other options. You don't have to, you're not set in stone for that one team.
Yep, that's very true.
But
that's and honestly, if you end up liking the raid team you're cross-realming with, transfers are not that bad.
No.
And Blizzard is always cutting deals on that. There's a lot of free realm transfers going constantly. So there are options available, even if you're not in a super community. There are options out there. So don't be afraid to talk to your raid lead, and don't be afraid to move to a different team.
So, hey, Arisangus.
Yo.
What are you doing in November?
I'm so excited for this. I am going to BlizzCon in the first part of November with a ton of friends I've never met.
You know what that means, right?
That I will need to bring condoms?
Well, aside from that, that means that you are going to leave me all by myself.
Oh. All by myself.
Yeah, you can.
That is true.
So, all right. So, those of you that listen, let me ask you this. Do you want to talk about raiding? You know, would somebody like to replace Arsangus, at least temporarily? You know, I'm looking for, yeah, keep flipping me off too. I am looking for a guest host for November 7th with an availability at least November 6th so we can go over show notes. If you are interested in being a guest host, shoot us a message on Twitter or shoot us an email and I'll look at who's interested and look at what I'll make up a topic and we'll get back to you. So it's a good way to get your voice heard.
Listen, you'll never be able to replace me. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, for whoever decides to guest host, even the fabulous Cuddles, I'd like to see you try.
Well, honestly, like
to see you try.
I'm the one that does all the work, so you just sit there and talk.
Yeah, but I'm very, very good at it.
So, yeah, that's all I've got. Arsangus, do you have anything else?
Big shout out, of course, to Facepole. I know a lot of them actually listen to this show. I probably don't talk up much during a raid, and that's fine because you listen to the show. Big shout out to them. I will have to say that if you guys are not familiar with the Converted podcast, one of our close friends, Navox, turned in his podcast headphones this last week and will no longer be playing WoW or podcasting anymore. I have to give big props to him because he was so helpful in getting this podcast up and running.
Yes.
He's been a fantastic leader in Convert to Raid. He may come back to Convert to Raid, but he has been a fantastic help to not only the community, but me and Moo personally when it comes to getting the Battle Res Bears up and running, as well as other podcasters like Jack, Cuddles, Hawkeye, Draven Dresden, a lot of people we run around with. So thank you, Navox, for giving us a hand.
We're going to miss you.
We are definitely going to miss you. You've been so helpful. And that's all I have.
All right. So you can reach us on Twitter at BattleResBears. That's Res with a Z. You can get us on email, BattleResBears@gmail.com. Again, Res with a Z. You can find me on Twitter at Moodahla. That's Moodahla. Or Sengus, where can they get you?
They can find me in the shower.
I mean, well, finally. No, actually, you can find me on Twitter as well. That is Ursangus, URSANGUS. You can also find me via email, ursangus@gmail.com. Or if you're on US Airy Peak server and on the Alliance side, /join a CTR LFO and scream until a greater answers you, and you can get through to me that way.
Yeah, occasionally. Sometimes he doesn't answer the greeters, so be careful.
No. Especially when I'm in the shower.
All right. So I think that'll do it for us this week. Everybody, thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening, and have a great raid.